Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. We got a good program lined up for you today. Chris Kerber is going to join us live from San Jose at 10:30. Gene Principe, who covers hockey as well as anybody in Canada, will join us at 11:30. Of course, Martin will be here at 11 o'clock. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. We have the Maryville University phone lines, and those phone lines are 855-282-8255. Please go to maryville.edu for more information about that lovely campus in beautiful town and country. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway. And let's begin with lap one. Not a good weekend for the local teams. We begin with the Blues. You know, when you're playing a team with four 30-goal scorers, two Norris Trophy-winning defensemen, and a future Hall of Famer in a swan song season, your margin of error is thinner than the body of the plowboy. But errors is what they made. Lots of them, including right on the opening goal.
Only one even-strength goal in the playoffs for Tarasenko as Petrangelo was knocked down. Here comes Nyquist, moving in, slides it across, score, Couture!
Yeah, we just didn't manage it, you know. We just didn't manage it the right way. Might have been trying to feel it out a bit too much, but, you know, we're not worried. I mean, we know we have to be better and work harder for each other, and, you know, that wasn't our best tonight.
Ryan O'Reilly after the game. And it wasn't just Alex Petrangelo. It's like every defenseman took turns with a really costly turnover or mistake. Joel Edmondson, Colton Parayko, Vince Dunn. I don't know if I've ever seen a game where one group in particular has so many costly mistakes. Lap two. Now the forwards need to up their game also. Ryan O'Reilly had a special goal. Man, was that sensational. Jaden Schwartz had good moments too. And of course, the Maroon Bozak Thomas line got themselves a goal. Now, I don't want to overstate the obvious, and it does seem to be obvious because all you have to do is look at the Post-Dispatch and their two articles front page about Vladimir Tarasenko. See, if Logan Couture and Timo Meier are going to score two goals, well, maybe Tarasenko is going to have to do the same for the Blues to win this series. He's not a bad playoff performer. He's got 38 points in 58 career playoff games, 27 goals. But he's a minus 14 in his playoff career. He's a minus 8 in this playoff. And he has one even strength goal. It's not all on him. But the bottom line is, if you're going to beat a team at least as talented, and you could make a case that they're more skilled, more talented than the Blues, well, then your best sniper has got to be a factor. He knows it. And the coach talked about it yesterday in the scrum.
Vladdy's got to work without the puck a lot harder, and he will, and he's got to get more involved. You can't just wait for things to happen, especially in the playoffs. You got to go get it, and you got to go make it yourself. So it's about working, and it's about working with your line. Again, I'll stress it again, we need three guys around the puck.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think his actual first shot on goal was with about 4 minutes to go. He had one blocked. And he had one shot on goal, period. I mean, that would be like, well, it's not similar, but it's like if Steph Curry didn't get enough shots up, or if Kevin Durant didn't have shots up. By the way, Kawhi Leonard shot 39 times yesterday. We'll get to that in just a moment. But you know what, though? It wasn't a bad shot in the 39. All right, lap three. Cardinals are in a funk. In a span of 11 days, they went from the best record in the league to basically being a fourth-place team with the Pirates, because the Pirates are percentage points ahead of them. Technically, they're tied in terms of games back. You just lost 9 out of 11, including 3 in a row. And it's interesting because at first we were blaming the starting pitching, and then recently it's been an extremely erratic, ineffective offense. Remember, in this 11-game stretch, it's 6 games with 1 run or less. And then yesterday, well, John Brebbia, who entered the game having given up just 2 runs, gave up 3 with this pitch to Josh Bell.
Cranked down the line and gone! Line drive! Game-tying home run for Josh Bell!
Now, Brebbia, to use the Tony La Russa vernacular, is a man, not a machine. He's entitled to have a bad game. But I think it's a legitimate question. Should he have been out there to pitch to Frazier? You had Andrew Miller. You know, it's kind of not Brevia's day. Don't you go to a lefty there? I don't know. Here's the skipper on some of the moves.
You know, at some point it didn't get to be about matchups today. You know, Bell's a switch hitter. Wouldn't mind if flipped him over to the other side. But, you know, we got a leadoff walk and then we got the hit batter. And, you know, you want to, react to what you're seeing. And didn't feel like that was, first and second and not ideal in a sense, but Brebbia's been fine. He's been one of our better guys all year, and he's been good against lefties too. So just changing the look, didn't seem like Tyler had his best stuff that particular moment, and made a switch, and then it wasn't as much about matchups as about stuff.
Yeah, the Webb thing was interesting too. So just not a great day at the ballpark for the manager or the bullpen at all. All right, lap four, and I want you guys to weigh in. My favorite topic, Jose Martinez. I caught a little heat yesterday on social media because my guy was not exactly a combination of Roberto Clemente, Andre Dawson, or Larry Walker in right field. So what are you to do? Are you going to bench the guy hitting 339 because every once in a while he won't get to a ball that Dexter Fowler possibly would have? I don't think so. I mean, I'd love to have a young Dave Parker playing right field, but I'm not benching this impactful offensive player unless there's somebody overall better, and there's not. It's a tough day and right, and Saturday wasn't great either. I wouldn't make a move, though, and the manager likely won't. I mean, can you really say, okay, you know what, we've decided upon further review, we're going to make Jose strictly a ninth inning, eighth inning pinch hitter. What do you think about the pros and cons of playing Jose Martinez, both of you?
I would start out by saying the Cardinals are usually the best teams at selling assets at their lowest point and getting nothing for him. Tommy Pham, I could go on and on. So you don't want to make him a complete liability to where a team can trade him at the deadline or trade for him at the deadline and give you very little in return. This dude needs to play every day. You play Marcell Ozuna when he has shady defense. You played a lot of position players that their focal point is not defense. And when you're scoring one run or less in those, six of the 11 games, you need offense, and this dude produces at a consistent basis. If you want to have him be a platoon guy, that's fine. Well, then start looking for trade offers so you can actually get value for him rather than selling him for absolutely nothing. I'm so confused why we as fans are the only one that sees his consistent production. I just don't understand.
I don't think you are trading him because I think showed that you obviously place a higher value on him as a player than other teams do. You couldn't get a lefty reliever for Jose Martinez this past offseason, and you tried valiantly to trade him. So as a result, you play him. Who else is hitting in the outfield right now, or even on the team in general?
Yeah,
you have to play him.
Even
and just
Zuna's
deal with his defense later.
Brian, that wins above replacement, where you encompass offense and defense. I know that. By the way, Paul DeJong was like second in the National League heading into the weekend. But where would be a guy like Jose Martinez with wins above replacement?
He's at 0.7 right now, so probably not ranking too high.
Okay. All right. I think the move that could be made, though, I'm not sure if it is going to be made, though, is Austin Gomber in the rotation. He's mowing them down in Memphis. 44 Ks. Wait, let me see. 44 Ks and 14 walks. 2.82 earned run average. And I guess wins don't matter, but he's 4-0. So I'm not sure if they're going to make a move right now.
They should.
But the next move should be Gomber getting a start here in St. Louis. All right, lap five. The best single moment in sports over the weekend happened in Toronto, Canada, late last night. Game 7, 76ers and Raptors tied at 90, and it was time for Kawhi Leonard.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Wow. Never seen anything like it. Ball bounced four times. I mean, you never see a ball. You rarely see a ball hit the front rim like that and eventually go in. You know, in the old days, they'd say if you made one of those, oh, you must have gone to church on Sunday or a shooter's touch. Wow. He had 41. And with Kevin Durant injured, we can safely say I think the best two players in the world as we wake up on this Monday are about to square off in the Eastern Conference, Giannis and Kawhi. How about this, too? We are going to have an NBA championship with either the Toronto Raptors or the Milwaukee Bucks. That's crazy. And it's good. Think about the last time the Bucks won it, 1971. Oscar Robertson was playing basketball, along with Lucius Allen in the backcourt, Bobby Dandridge, John McLaughlin, and the center on that team was named Lou Alcindor. It was so long ago that the name change was not quite official yet to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I love Portland beating Denver, so Stan Kroenke has to have set some type of record for the only owner to lose two game sevens in the same week in two different sports. I don't know if you were watching that one, but this C.J. McCollum, he's a Lehigh grad. They normally go on to Boeing, not the NBA. They produce engineers that wear pocket protectors, not electric explosive point guards. I think he's the only player ever drafted out of Lehigh. He had 37, including a dagger step back two. Damian Lillard, who we were talking about, how great he is, he was watching. He was watching and admiring his backcourt partner, C.J. McCollum. And you talk about a matchup in the NBA Western Conference Final in terms of skill level at the guard spot and point production? Oh, my goodness. Klay Thompson and Curry against McCollum and Lillard? That's a combined like 100 points a game. I mean, almost have to go back to Jerry West and Gail Goodrich playing against Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier. How does it get any better than that? Just incredibly skilled players. Hey, by the way, there was a Miles Leonard moment for Portland. University of Illinois guy gets some minutes. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. A little bit of recruiting news. The basketball Billikens have added a 6'11". 250-pound athletic specimen from New Jersey. His name is Madani Diarra. He will be a freshman for the Billikens next season. He's regarded as a terrific athlete. We got some video of him last night, who quite a few schools were involved with late in the recruiting process. He did not. I think he was injured part of his senior year, so he didn't get quite the attention that they thought he would, so the Billikens got in late. Mizzou is getting, apparently, they have a good chance to get a good one on Tuesday in Kobe Brown. He signed to Texas A&M but asked out when the coach was fired. At one time, he was a top 75. So that's good news. Food-wise, cheeseburger at Bricktop. I've been hearing about it. Bacon cheddar, and it was really solid. Back to the 49er pancake at Original House of Pancakes to take my mom for Mother's Day. That was strong. I will say this. 99% of the time, I support only local establishments, but I did a banquet. Somebody gave me a gift certificate instead of a payment, so we went there. I'm back to local establishments from here on out. Chris's Pancake House, my favorite breakfast place of all time. But here's one I want to ask both of you guys about, because I have heard tremendous things, and they are now a Food Picks candidate. It's called Pizza Head. It's a pizza place on Grand Avenue, which is supposed to be off the charts insane. Two people in the business swear by it, and we are thinking about making it a Food Picks idea.
I have had Pizza Head. It's good. I'll say this, it's very good, but just get their pizza. They have a vegan pizza, which isn't for me. Might be for other people, but their regular pizza with the flesh and blood and meat of slaughtered animals, that is a very good pizza.
Okay.
I've never heard of Pizza Head, and I'm a huge pizza guy, so yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I haven't, but I'm certainly going to try it out.
It's kind of a joint, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
You sound like...
You're so hip.
Yeah. No, he sounds like Guy Fieri. Every place he goes to is called a joint.
Is that right?
Yes. This joint here sells pho.
Now, did I hear they have a good beer selection, too? Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't think I drank there, though, because this is unhealthy, but it was our stop after dinner one night a while ago at a Vietnamese place across the street, and then we went to Pizza Head after because we heard it was good. Right. We're good eating people.
I know we have a bunch of foodies that listen to this program, so scouting report on Pizza Head, please. Farachi's is still my all-time favorite. Maryville University sponsors our listener line, 855-282-8255. Go to maryville.edu for more information. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear yours. And this is where we're going to ask the question today. Blues confidence level right now, confidence level in the Blues on a 1 to 10. Confidence level in the Cardinals on a 1 to 10. Interest level in the NBA playoffs on a 1 to 10. I know a bunch of people are going to say 0, 0, 0. And then pizza place you would have your last slice from in St. Louis. Right now, what would it be for you? I'm going Farachi's. Do you guys have a candidate? You want to think about it for a second.
I'm a fan of two, which I'll always stress, Onesto Trattoria and Felix's.
So this is
very
local.
Nice.
Are we doing the local feel?
Yeah,
I would go Blackthorn, which I'm not for sure.
I've never had that. I've heard it's great.
It's unbelievable.
Well, let's get a location on that. Blackthorn.
Blackthorn is in the Tower Grove, isn't it?
Yeah, I was close to where I lived. I've lived in so many apartments, I'm kind of thinking of which
it's
one.
It's off Wyoming Street. South Grand, it is, I guess. Yeah.
Right. I would recommend, Frank, if you want to get stuffed, you have a couple pieces of Blackthorn. It's
a deep dish.
Oh,
yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, we'll visit with Chris Kerber.